Well, I want to share a couple of things, and then we'll pray over this. But there are two things that I wanted to tell you about. I mean, if you can't tell by now, we are in the thick of this, and it's not going to get any. I was going to say lighter, but
thinner.
It is going to get lighter.
No, thinner.
I mean, it's not going to get any thinner. Nor do I ever see a time that there's a reverting to something that has been done. But I just believe that the Lord, with every week that goes by, there is such a multi-layered dimension of the Spirit that we have not even seen, that we've not even experienced. And the desire that I have for us is that we experience everything on earth that we possibly can before we get to heaven. Everything that the Spirit of God wants to do, how He wants to do it. And I'm just expecting that there's something that is going to happen Wednesday night that will be of such an unusual nature. I mean, this goes right along with the words from the Lord that we've been getting, that we would see things. God's doing things that He's never done before, seeing things we've never seen before. And it's all a reflection of heaven on earth, heaven amongst us. And to see demonstrations of the Spirit, of the gifts of the Spirit, in ways that are outside of what our box might be. So we're stepping out. And one of the things that happened on Sunday, and it's the first time, maybe the first time I've ever experienced this, but I was laying hands on folks, and several times I went down with them, and there was one in particular that I stayed down. And I was laying there hearing voices around me, and I could feel people trying to pull me back up, and I could hear Michael Evans saying, he's out, let him alone, he's out. I finally got pulled back up again, which was fine. Got back in the game. But I really do believe that we're going to get to the point where we experience 2 Chronicles 5:13. It came to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, that they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals of the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, and His mercy endures forever." That then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. So I'm really looking for that day when the healing team is laid out on the floor. Amen. They can't get up. And that the second team has to come up to help out, or the ushers have to quit ushering, and they just need to start laying hands on the people. Unusual demonstrations. Say unusual.
Unusual,
unusual demonstrations unusual. Of the Holy unusual. Spirit. What I'm endeavoring to do personally is to break out of a limited mindset of what we have done, what has been done. I'm looking for everything, and everything, and I'll use this word carefully, new. It's not new to God. These are just things that He's been waiting to have unfolded before us, to see things that have not been seen before, and to experience, have encounters with Him every time we get together. I'm expecting an encounter with Him right now. I hope you are. I hope you are. I hope you get up in the mornings and you say to yourself, "I am expecting an encounter with Jesus today. I'm expecting Him to do things and say things and be things to me that I've never experienced before." To have that kind of an expectation. And then I'm going to read this, and then we'll pray and get right back into picking up where we left off on the revival capital of the world. But this is just this is just another indicator, all prophecy being fulfilled. We're here. We are here. And it's happening. It's happening. You know, I'm hearing about it. I heard about it the other day from yet another church, about how things are just taking place. The move of the Spirit is happening in this church, and the people are just flowing with God. And this is from Brother Hagin. This is 1983. He says, "In this move that is about to come, and even you're in the edge of it right now, It will not be altogether something new that you've never seen. It'll be a combination of everything that you've seen put together and then more. Say more. More. In this move of God that is just about to spring upon you, there'll be a manifestation of the casting out of demons that you haven't yet seen. And secondly, saith the Spirit of God, you've not seen the revival of divine healing that you're about to see. Oh yes, you saw those that I raised up. You've seen men and women mightily used of my Spirit. Now, you think about the great ministers of the healing campaigns, 1947 to 1958 or so, the Oral Roberts and the T.L. Osbornes and so forth and so on. But this is what Brother Hagin said. He said, I sent them forth as a pilot program to try and train you. Wow. That was a pilot program. But many just looked at them and lifted them up. And some of them were lifted up in pride, and the anointing left them. And some became money-minded and lost the anointing. But there will arise a group in this day that's a brand new breed. They'll not be greedy for filthy lucre. They'll not be wanting to attract attention unto themselves. They would care less whether God uses me. They'd rather God use you. And God will not just use ministers. He'll use laymen. There'll be a revival of divine healing such as you've not seen in your lifetime or read about or heard about, says the Lord. And the revival of the supernatural, not only the supernatural in casting out devils, not only the supernatural in healing the sick, not only the supernatural in speaking with other tongues, but the supernatural in the realm of the seen realm. Men will see the glory of God. A cloud will hang over certain congregations, even the church building, for days at a time. And everybody that passes by, sinner and saint alike, will say, what in the world is that? I've never seen anything like that. Miraculous things in the realm of the spirit, they'll be manifested in the realm of the physical, and the glory of God will fall, and the glory of God will be a manifestation. Men and women will be transported like Philip was and found in another place. And great, great, great shall be the reward thereof. The greatest miracle of all is that there'll be so many fish caught in the net that the nets can't hold them. There won't be church houses enough to hold the people. For the purpose of it all is that you may be fishers of men. Quit fishing in your own bathtub. There's not enough fish in your own bathtub. Go out where the fish are and throw out the net. Not the hook, but the net. And the glory of the Lord will shine. The end time will come. Many shall go and tell the story and show His great glory. The power of God in manifestation shall be the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of His Spirit. Into full potential shall come the ministry gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher too. So God in 1983 was talking about raising up a new breed. We're there. We are one of just many churches that have stepped into the deep, launched out into the deep, and seeing things take place with our adults, our children, our youth, in every level that of age group that we have, it's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray over this time together and thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that it's getting thicker and thicker and thicker every day, every moment of every day. And Lord, we are releasing right now our faith for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth, and that people will see and know that Jesus is Lord. We pray over this time, Father, and the heritage of this ministry and what you've yet called us to, where we are going, where we are headed, what is going to be fulfilled. Father, we receive a 50,000 seat facility. We receive the completion of the Student Life Center and all of the other buildings that need to be built on this property. Father, we are in a time right now of supernatural acceleration of provision, provisional acceleration. Whatever is needed, it's in the bank. Whatever we have to have, it's there now. And we take hold of it with our faith and receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. We talked to you about the brochure, The Revival Capital of the World. I hope you've enjoyed that and looked at it again. Spencer and Cindy, I think I told you they brought us one, but Cindy had copied this and keeps it in her Bible and prays over it daily. That's the kind of passion we have to have about this, and let God reveal it to you. One of the things I want to ask you to do as we read, in fact, I wish I'd mentioned this before you read that, if you have paper in hand, is to listen for your part, because we're going to share some things that the Lord has said through people, and it's not just about the big picture. That's what this was, the big picture. But some of these things get more specific, and they'll tell you how you need to come up. What is your spiritual, the challenge that you have in terms of your own spiritual growth and focus, and how are you going to do this? Well, we're going to do it by faith. Yeah. Faith got us to this place, and faith, the lack of faith, has kept us from being in other successes that we could have had. So faith is the bottom line to, it's not the only thing, but it's by faith that we walk with God. And therefore, it's by faith that we get access to everything else. All the other things that are important, it's when we access them by faith, on purpose, because we see it in the Word and we take it, we say it, and we determine that we're going to align to that and trust God. So in 1997, at this point, we were in three services in the chapel. My sister was going to Jerry Savelle's school. Some of you may not know that he had a school. What's it called? What's the name of their Bible school? Heritage of Faith Bible School. And which I wound up teaching at for 2 years, but I hadn't done that yet at this point. And she had one of her favorite speakers the year before was Dick Rubin. Dick Rubin is a Jewish man, Messianic Jewish man. And he would come to Jerry's and teach for a week on Jesus, recognizing Jesus in the priesthood and in the garments of the priesthood. I mean, very detailed. It's so amazing things we just read through in our little unknowledgeable heads. And we read through the description of the priestly robes and so forth, and we miss that each and every piece of it, every tiny little bit to the pomegranates, all point to Jesus. Very interesting. So she was so taken by that in the week that she had with him. When he came back the next year, she told me about it. And I decided that I wanted to go. So there were, three of us. Mary Lou, did you go with us that day? Of course you didn't. Everywhere. Mary Lou was everywhere. So kind of like the Holy Spirit. She's everywhere. So she went. And there were a handful of us, four or five maybe, I think. We went. I think maybe Stan Nixon might have gone. I don't recall. But anyway, we went. And this was a special time, so it wasn't a single class. It was the whole morning session. And he actually was doing the week, but we went this one day, early part of the week. And I was so interested, in all that he had to say. Somebody told him that I was there. I mean, we're just sitting in the group with the students, and invited me to come to the back. So went back there, and Dick, he's a very tall man, just really tall. And I remember him being in that chair and looking so tall and just a big man. And when I walked in, he just was in another place, as Pastor talked about on Sunday. And he said for me to sit down, and he began to talk to me. He said, this must have been the first day of the week. So he said, I got in last night. And he said, it was late. We drove in. At that time, Brother Savelle, they had an apartment or something, a guest house, I think. And he said, I was tired. So we came in, went to bed. And I had just laid down, and the Lord said, go pray. Lord, no, I'm so tired. And the Lord said, I said, go pray now. He said, I dragged myself to the living room. He said, I got down in the living room floor, and he said, my face hit the floor. He said, I could not move for the next 4 hours. I believe it was four, maybe 5 hours. And he said, in that time, the Lord showed me a vision of your property. He said, now let me explain something. I've never been to your property. I know very little about your ministry, because up until a year ago, you were all a part of a group that we were told not to associate with. And all I knew of you, of Kenneth Copeland or Jerry Savelle, were the things that people had told me about you, and it wasn't in a positive way. And he said, so I didn't want anything to do with any of you till I met Jerry Savelle. And Jerry was in a meeting somewhere where Brother Rubin was speaking, and he asked him to come and speak to the school on this topic. He said, I came, And he said, I spent a week here with these lovely people and found out what I had heard was not accurate at all. And he said, I fell in love with them and all this going on here, but I don't know much of anything about you except I understand more now. I've heard Brother Savelle. He said, but I saw your property and I had a vision of that property. As I laid on my face before God, I saw the place covered up with people. There were people coming from every direction, lined up and down the roads. And he began to describe what was familiar to me, but I hadn't thought about in a long time. And he described what Brother Copeland said in 1973. And then again for us in 1978. It so affected me. And then he began to say some things about the people of faith. And he sat back and he said, you know, when the people of faith get hold of love, it will change everything. Well, you know, I'm thinking, what do you mean? And what I realize, have come to realize even more since then, is that where in some degrees I think about my dad and what is preaching on love, I think I mentioned this to you all. He talked about love for since the 1979, I can remember him more specifically. I mean, some of the first messages he ever taught were on love. But he started in 79 and went for years preaching on the love of God and nothing else. And that has cycled through two or three times, every time on a different level. So that struck my ears funny, but what I've come to realize, though, are a degree of haughtiness, or we know something you don't know. And Word of Faith is really, for the most part, was established by people coming out of other denominations. Not totally, but a lot of it. And because of that, this sense of, now I know something you all don't know, and you know what can follow right with that. I'm better than you are. Okay. Well, there was a lot of that going on, but it wasn't recognized and it wasn't intended. And I'm sure some people were more highly developed in that than others. But then the whole strife and just things, just, you know. Anyway, but he said that to me. And apparently we were known by other people and other denominations and other groups of people, Spirit-filled, Pentecostal people, known to be that way, known to not be loving and kind. And some of it was a wrong perception because of the line that we draw in the sand about things and that we had to learn to do, that I'm going to stand for this, believe for this, and nobody's going to talk me out of it. And that takes a stand sometimes that can easily be misunderstood. And there are also people that misunderstand for themselves what it means to do that, but it doesn't mean to exclude and be harsh to other people. So anyway, this was so moving to me, but I thought that interesting, his point. So I quickly called George and said, I think this man should come and speak in church on Sunday. You didn't go with me. And he said, absolutely. So we had three services that day. The first one was at 8:00, and I have something I want to read to you, what he said. But the third service, once it started, went until 5 in the afternoon. So we went from 8 until 5 that day. Were you there, Bobby? I see you saying you were there. It was a long one, wasn't it? It was a long one. Praise God. Now let me mention this other thing about Dick Rubin. Many of you have heard of the Pensacola outpouring. You know about that? Pensacola was one of those places you can only name a few of, Brownsville, Toronto, others, where there was such a specific touch by God that happened among people, and that they just, people came from around the world by the thousands, much like what we're describing. There's a lot to be learned from that, and we can talk about that perhaps as the next chapel, about managing this outpouring. But what happened was, Dick is a traveling minister at the time, and he had come to speak at this church, and he prophesied that Pensacola outpouring was coming. He prophesied it to that church. Well, within a matter of months, it broke out. And they went back to him and said, we need you. We need your help. So he actually came back and became one of the elders overseeing that outpouring in Pensacola. I don't know how many years that lasted, but quite a long time, daily, every day. And so he said to me, I don't think he mentions it here, but he said to me, he said, when the people of faith make contact with the love of God, you will know how to handle this outpouring in a way we did not. So what do you mean? He said, well, things began to happen and we didn't know what to do with it. So we had to regulate everything in order to manage it. He said, for example, there were so many people to be prayed for, and it took a lot of people to do it. He said, all we knew to do to regulate it so that it was proper and stayed right before God was we say, okay, you use these three fingers and you touch them right here. So there had, which didn't slow them down, but it limited how much further God could take it. They ran eventually, in hindsight, I would say it's possible, they ran to the end of what they knew how to walk in. Because they didn't have an understanding of the application of that people of faith have been trained in. Those were his statements, not mine. Let me tell you what he says in the service. I've come to tell you this morning, revival is about to sweep the faith movement, and it's going to supersede any movement that we've seen before. But you're going to have to humble yourselves. Okay, this means you, this means me. Humble yourselves. Fall on your face, cry out to God. He wants revival more than you want revival. From the very beginning of time, all he's ever wanted was fellowship with man. That's all. He came down to Adam in the cool of the day, and now he's coming down to man in revival. And I believe with all my heart, that's what we're experiencing in Pensacola. It was still happening there. It's not the fullness of what God wants to do. You see, the faith movement is very unique because if anything has been taught, it's been that we live by faith. We believe. It's our confession that either brings wrong or right into our life. So when revival is added to this movement, what I saw in the vision, it's going to blow you away. I don't really know if you're ready for revival because revival costs something. My idea of revival up until 18 months ago was, it's just a series of religious meetings. 5-night series, 2-night series. That's not what revival is. Revival is a lifestyle of holiness, purity, righteousness. I told Pastor just a little while ago, I don't walk in sin anymore. I'm a sinner, but I don't walk in sin any longer. Because of the moment that the Holy Spirit pricks my heart and quickens me to something that is not pleasing to God, I say, Lord, wash me. I don't have to wait to come to an altar call at church. Every day, it's a multiple amount, and it's just a thought that comes in my mind that's not in alignment to God's word. Wash me, Lamb of God. So it's really not a sin consciousness in the sense that there's sin, but it's in the category that we think of sin, that can be there too. But it's more of a highly fine-tuned, learning to fine-tune a walk in perfect union with Him. And it's how to think His thoughts. And he was saying that the people of faith can better monitor ourselves. Now, see, he's still, in his this, what he's talking about, he's still a sinner. I don't think in terms of being a sinner. And yet he's more refined at what he was doing than I am. But you bring those two together, okay? I'm not thinking as a sinner. I'm thinking powerfully as the righteousness of God in Christ. But when you take that, and you begin to merge it with making, you're so in tune and in step with Him, catching every thought, every phrase, to be in line with the thought that God has for me at this moment. It doesn't have to be a wicked thought. It's just not His thought. But if you persistently choose the one that's not His thought, then it becomes sin. So we're talking about narrowing this field. I mean, it's tight. But this is what Jesus did and the results that he got. So this is not a free-for-all, loosey-goosey thing. Now, other people, it may wind up seeming like that for them, but it's not for us. We're talking about a precision, an expertise, and being led by the Spirit in such union with him, he said, of righteousness, purity, and holiness. So then, not long after that, I had a dream. And in this dream, it was very short, just very, very brief. We were in the chapel building. We were still having church there. And I was at, if you were facing the platform, I was at the front left door on the inside. And Patty McManamy, many of you might remember Patty, but she was on staff with us, and she was one of the children's ministers. She worked alongside Dana and Linda. And she was really held the place that Clara has, okay? She was more for the youngest of the children, the preschool, before first grade. And was so marvelous at that, such a sweet way with her that she had. And she was just that way with people. There was a sweetness about Patty and a soft-spokenness and just had a way. So she walked into the door, she walked up to me, and I said something to her. I gave instruction to her. I said, Patty, I need you to go over to the children's tent. That was it. But in that moment, I understood, and all these years I thought I understood everything about that, but as I was thinking on it last week, the Lord showed me that there was even more that I hadn't seen. First of all, the understanding was literal, in that I understood that it was about this property, and I understood that there was a tent out front, but there were multiple tents, multiple places, and there was a tent for children. Okay. So the literal side of that was for literal children. Over time, I've come to realize that it wasn't just literal children the Lord was showing me, but spiritual children. And I understood that there was a process to take people through the discipleship process, but it had to be done in mass. And so there were multiple facilities. So you have an evangelistic tent where you're bringing people in. An evangelistic tent is where you're reaching people. People are getting saved, but they don't need to stay in the evangelistic tent. You move them over to the place where they are children in the Lord. And you begin to teach them and train them in spiritual things, so they can grow up. You know, you can grow people up spiritually quickly. It can happen fast. It's not about the amount of knowledge you have. It's the lens through which you read the Word. Yeah. It's really what, that's it. And it's just that shift and the lens through which you see and have revelation of the Word and your commitment to it. And you can act like a grown up right away. Part of the revival capital of the world that the Lord put in Dad's heart was for people to become spiritual adults in one day. Now, there was a prayer time that we had. Again, Mary Lou, of course, would remember this. But a prayer time we had that Lord just put us in a place in the Spirit, and we began to pray about spiritual miracles. Remember? Spiritual miracles. Why do these stand out? Because they were significant then to where we are now. Now, what's a spiritual miracle? Well, a natural miracle would be, and I don't mean that the miracle is natural, but I mean a miracle for something natural, a broken bone. So a broken bone, the miracle is not that it's 6 weeks to heal, but that it instantly, the process for the healing is the same, but it happens. Spiritual miracles would be the acceleration process of spiritual maturity. An acceleration process of spiritual growth, an acceleration process of going from here to here. And the scripture we have for that is Jesus talked about the 11th hour laborer. And so just coming in on that last bit, there's something that happened that took others all the day before to get to. So this tent, then the understanding, multiple tents for ages as well as spiritual level. But what I didn't see about that until this last week, and you can understand why, was I realized it was the tent anointing. It's that anointing that Dad's been talking about that came upon, that rested in the tent. And we've come to realize too, that's scriptural because the whole thing started with a tent, with Moses in a tent. It was a tent. So not that we have to have a tent, but you can see how we may have to have tents. Okay, so we talk about big auditoriums, great, but whether it's tents between now and a big auditorium or a big auditorium and tents, I don't know. But we will know when it comes up to us, we'll know. But the Lord's showing us all along. So that tent had spiritual, it has spiritual application, and it had literal applications. Thank you, Jesus. And then somewhere in this time frame, we don't have a date, but Pastor George got a letter from Jesse McElreath from Lake Country.
I want you to look in your Bible at Luke chapter 2. We've been connected with Lake Country Christian School for a long time. Of course, Jeremy went to school there, then Aubrey went to school there. And so we figured it up actually during graduation here Sunday night that we'd been involved with Lake Country. We were involved with our children for 19 years. And
it's 30 years since we've been, 30 years ago.
So we've gotten to know the people over there and just wonderful, wonderful people. And at the time, there was an associate pastor named Jesse McElreath, who he was there from the very beginning of Lake Country Church, Lake Country School. And Jesse, to me, is a picture of the of an old prophet. When you think about an old prophet, this is what comes to my mind as a present day prophet. I've been reading through our Bible, of course, the Old Testament, reading through the various prophets who were advising David and Saul, and there's Samuel, there's Nathan, and just the place that these people operate from, they are so focused on the Word of the Lord. They're so consumed with the Word of God. And there is a word that they'll have that in some cases they refuse to die until they see that thing come to pass. And it reminds me of Simeon. And I wanted you to see this in verse 25 of Luke 2. It says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him." Now that's very important to note there. "It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and began to speak over him. Lord, let thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which you prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." And then it goes on there, but it talks about Simeon. It also goes on to talk about Anna. And to me, this is a picture of the prophet and the prayer working together. Anna, of course, was connected to the church. And after she was widowed, she says she did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Well, here is Simeon receiving this word. Here's Anna praying this thing through. And the day finally came. The day came for Simeon to see Jesus and actually hold him. Well, as Pastor Terry said many years ago, which we'll soon find out, of course, my communications with Jesse McElreath and knowing him, and we knew all of the people over there. And it was after I started pastoring the church that he sent this letter. Now, this is a copy of it, but I have the original at home under lock and key. But this is a copy of the original letter that Jesse sent to me. And I wanted to read it to you. And he said, "Dear George, before this year is out," and we'll find out what year it was, We will have lunch together. I prophesy that in Jesus' name. And then he goes on and he says, the dove of the Holy Spirit is over Eagle Mountain Lake and is descending in power and might over the Eagle Mountain Church. I've seen in a vision a huge tower at the mountain, and from it flowing radio and television signals being beamed to the entire world. I've seen in this same vision literally thousands of pilgrims making their way from across this earth to the mountain. I've seen them camped all over the ground, simply waiting for someone to come and preach the good news of the gospel to them. What I have seen far surpasses the Toronto blessing and the Pensacola blessing. 10,000 a day will be saved. I've seen our church linked, arm in arm with you, to minister to the multitudes. We'll be helping with the food, shelter, discipling. The seed that is sown at Eagle Mountain International Church will yield first 30, then 60, then 100-fold. It will take all hands on deck to take care of the harvest that is coming. I see a big sign blinking off and on saying, thirst is everything. Obey your thirst. You build it and they will come. You build it and they will come. God is granting you the desires of your heart. You'll know him in a way that you've never known him. His intimate presence will be revealed to a degree that you'll not be able to stand and minister. We're there. Your awareness of the Father's love for you will stretch your spirit to the limit. The Father loves you. He really, really loves you. And I realized the other day as I was reading that this was actually in response to a gift that we sent over there. And I don't know what gift it was or what seed we sowed. But he said, thank you for the seed gift. The timing was so of the Holy Spirit. It seems that when I need a touch from the Lord or an amen, he always provides. I am praying for the Spirit's full measure release in your church. Full measure. Say full measure.
Full measure.
Full measure release in your church, and that the hunger and thirst you have for him will be granted in greater ways than you could ever imagine. I'm learning that when it is seed, sow it. When it is bread, eat it. Bless you for the bread. We will eat it unto the glory of God. And then he closes the letter out saying, the river is here. The river is here. This old prophet would not let go of that vision. He would not let go of it. Even though since that time, since we saw that, we've been through a lot. We've been through difficult times here. We've been through stretches of time where it just seemed like this was some kind of a dream. And I thought, well, maybe it will be something we will experience in the millennium. I don't know. But there were times when we would get discouraged about this vision and it would just kind of be buried under everything else.
Or they would go through so many things because
they went through
he
a lot.
Said, yeah. Tell about how he was training their people to assist us.
How he was doing that?
Yeah, that he was going to train his church and he started telling his church about the most unselfish thing I've ever heard of a pastor.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, telling them that they were going to be helping us here. They were going to be serving us here.
He said, we'll feed them, we'll clothe them.
Yeah. And but they've been through some things over there. They've been through several pastors. I mean, there's been a wilderness that we've all experienced in this. And I wouldn't be surprised if their wilderness paralleled our wilderness. But
probably.
But they were going through times when the pastor that they had over there was actually unplugging from Lake Country Christian School, having two separate entities. Then they had another pastor over there, and years would go by. And I shared this with you before, but there was one time when we went to a breakfast over where Boo Ray's is on Boat Club Road. It was something else at the time. And there was a pastor that invited a group of us local pastors over there. And did anybody go with me? Anybody go with me on that one? Okay, a group of us went over there. It was probably Pastor Stan that went with me so long ago. And so we're all sitting around the big table. We're eating our breakfast. And then the pastor who was in charge of this stood up and he said, why don't we go around the room and each one of us will introduce yourself and what church you're from and so forth. So when you're doing something like that in a room full of pastors, you're endeavoring to not blow your own horn. You just, you want to speak your name and where you're from and just get on with it, because there's a lot of people in there, probably 30, 35 people in there. So we're going around the room. They came to me. I'm Pastor George Pearson's Eagle Mountain International Church. We're out here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And then we went to the next person. Then I finally got to Jesse McElreath, and he said, I'm Pastor Jesse, Associate Pastor Jesse McElreath at Lake Country Church, Lake Country Christian School.
Baptist Church at the time.
Baptist Church at the time. And he said that I've been there for such and such years. And he stopped, and then he said, there's a move of God coming out at Eagle Mountain International Church at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And this is going to be so huge and so large, it's going to go beyond the Pensacola outpouring. It's going to go beyond whatever we have seen. And our church is ready to stand with them, link arm in arm with them. We're going to help them with the food. We're going to help them with the clothing. Thousands of people are going to come out there. And he was basically going back over this again. And the more he was talking, the more I was sinking down into my seat, like, oh my gosh, he's saying it in front of all of these people. To me, that is the kind of tenacity that every one of us should have about this vision. You and I should be so over the top about what God is saying to us and the fact that we are involved in this together, that we should be like Jesse McElreath has been all of these years. The man would not let go of the vision. And I won't get into anything right now about what happened to that vision or what took place, but it was, I would say in short, it was a good fight of faith to come to the place where we are today. To where we came to the place last fall where this word, and I started pulling these words out. I started studying these words over the last couple of years, kept this revival capital of the world before me and just fed on it and fed on it. And slowly but surely through last year, the year before, and then hitting us in the fall, this thing became a reality. And it was during Grandparents' Day last December that I had the opportunity, because we would be over there for every play, every musical, every performance, everything that was going on at Lake Country, as long as our kids were there. And I'd see Jesse all the time. And he the first thing he'd say to me is, it's coming. That move of God is coming. It's coming. It's coming to your place out there. We're going to help you. We're going to help you. Even though he was an associate pastor to a pastor who had no idea what was going to happen out here and could care less about helping us. But you see what the Lord does. There is a pastor now, Pastor Randy Thomas, who is ready for this. He and I were texting each other Sunday morning about each other's church. I was declaring the glory of the Lord at the other end of Boat Club Road. He was declaring the glory of the Lord over our services, and he wanted to remind me, we pray for your church during our services. We send our people for a drive-by for five. They drive by, they park, they pray over this property, and then they drive on. So they got people who are praying for us. Everything is lining up. It's all lining up. And I was able to tell Jesse last December, I walked up to him and I said, Brother McElreath, it's happening. It's happening. The move of God is happening. And what we've been endeavoring to do is to get him to come and speak to us about this vision, what he saw and what was going on. And the Lord attacked him in body just weeks ago, put him in the hospital. And we were like, no way is that going to happen. So we're working on getting him here for a Wednesday night, like really quick, to get him here to be able to share this vision and to get the old prophet who wouldn't let go. Say the old prophet.
The old prophet.
Who wouldn't let go.
Who wouldn't let go.
Oh, that just speaks to me. That talks to me about what God has for us. That there was not only one man, there are others, which we'll talk about, but this one particular individual would not let go of the vision of the revival capital of the world. And it's here. It's here.
Somewhere about 2009, we got a phone call from a pastor named Ralph Wilkerson. Ralph Wilkerson, pastor of Melody Land in Anaheim, California. Many of you have ever heard of Melody Land. You know that is? This is pretty well known. Melody Land was I would say probably more like a saddleback.
It's going to be part of our course in our Bible school, the heritage of faith and
churches.
Revivals. Because we've got to know these things.
Melody Land became, in part, the Church of the Stars for Hollywood, and Pat Boone, and a lot of people in the up-and-coming younger generation after Pat go to church there. His church was one block from the Anaheim Convention Center, and somewhat connected to Dad. He was connected to Oral, and he was on the board, though not, I don't think, overly active on the board in a regular basis, but he was part of the board and goes back that far. At Melody Land, at the time when you see their church back then, you just think, wow, it looks so, so big as a church. An unusual, not a typical church building for the day. I remember going to hear Dad preach there some. But just a very significant connection that we had there over the years. And so George had spoken with him some as chairman of the board at ORU. But in about, I think it was 2009, maybe 10, out of the blue, George got a call from Brother Wilkerson.
Well, and I'll say this before I tell you what he said.
I really hadn't thought about him. I bring his name up when we talk about these things, but really hadn't thought about him an awful lot until, and some of you know Brian Taylor in church. He and his family sit on the front row every Sunday. Well, there was a woman who was getting, who's cleaning an attic and getting ready to get rid of a bunch of books and stuff, and came to him and said, "Would you like these books?" He started looking through them, and they are classic books, VHS, DVDs of Catherine Kuhlman, Amy Semple McPherson. I'm talking about original books. This guy has ended up with a library of heritage.
It's trash bags full.
Trash bags.
Black trash bags full.
Of this material. So he's been slowly feeding it to me, and I've been reading through some history of revival. I mean, just feeding on these things. The gifts of the Spirit books that were written in the latter part of the 19th century into the 20th century. Well, he gave me this two DVD set, and I've had it now for almost a month, because whenever he gives me these things, it's just like a big bag full, and I have to start digging through it. Well, I pulled out these two DVDs, and it's Catherine Kuhlman at Melody Land in 1969. So I put the DVD in, began to watch it, and it was introduced by Ralph Wilkerson, his wife, and Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn had black hair at the time, so you can understand how that was a while ago, probably the 80s, I guess. And then after they did the interview and talked about Catherine Kuhlman, then it went into the actual service. Black and white, black and white. And Catherine is just moving in the gifts of the Spirit, calling out things, and just sitting there watching and taking this in. And the Lord was ministering to me as I was doing that. He said, "This is good for you. You need to have this. You need to ingest this, because it's going to be part of your arsenal for the operation of the gifts of the Spirit that you need." I'm talking about the former and the latter rain. All of this stuff coming together in one great glory storm. It's not just one thing. It is the myriad of things. But the interesting thing to me was that Pastor Ralph Wilkerson, this is 1969, he was in his early 40s. He was right there with Catherine, and it was very casual almost, the way she was operating, and fun and enjoyable. I think you'd get a kick out of seeing some of this. I mean, she'd call people up, arms are being loosed right now. If arms being loosed, come on up here. And they'd come in, and she'd talk to them, and then she'd lay hands on them. And it got to a point where the anointing was so heavy that she laid hands on one lady, and the lady standing behind her went out. I mean, the residual effect. There was one man that she called up, toes, arthritis in the toes. And she looked over, and she waved for a man to come up. And as he was coming up, somebody hollered out and said, "He's over 100. So the man came up, he's 103. She starts walking with him on his toes, and he's walking just like this. And I'm watching this, I'm thinking, oh man. Well, all during this whole thing, Ralph Wilkerson is up there, as I would be as a pastor working with a guest speaker that would come to our church. And he was right there with her. And he'd say things to her like, "Oh, this man came from Canada, Sister Kuhlman," or he'd be helping her out, or whatever it took. And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if he's still alive. I mean, that's really, You want somebody to I wonder if Pastor Tony's still alive. Yeah, he's still alive. Well, I wondered if Ralph Wilkerson was still alive. And because I got to thinking about the day he called me. We're in the parking lot of Marshall's in Lake Worth. Pastor Terry went in to get something, and I sat in the car to wait for her, and the phone rang. And it was Pastor Wilkerson. He is, this year, 89. He'll be 90 next year, the same age as Charles Green. And so, Pastor George, yes, sir. And he began to talk to me about a vision that he had, a vision of this property and how thousands and thousands of people would be coming to this property and how there would be such a move of the Spirit of God that we have not seen before, that we have not experienced before. And he went on and on with this vision about what God was going to do here. Here is a man who is on the cutting edge of the charismatic movement as a pastor during that time in the 60s. He started pastoring in 1960, I believe. And how he was so much a part of what was happening with the gifts of the Spirit. He even said in this 1969 video, right in the middle of all that was going on, he said, I love it when we're into a Spirit-led service. And you see how through years, those things begin to dissipate. What we should be doing is from the day of Pentecost, there should have been an acceleration of this and it should have just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But what we've had is ebb and flows, but we're not going to ebb and flow anymore. We are going to go with this, with God in full force. So he began to outline what Jesse McElreath said. He began to speak the same thing about what was going to happen right here. And I have Pastor Gene working on this right now. We're going to get him here. We're going to get Pastor Ralph Wilkerson here to tell us the vision himself and do it as quickly as we possibly can. It's just yet another confirming voice of what people are seeing about what this place is going to be and what's going to happen.
So about 2 years ago then, you got a phone call from Billy Burke.
The Billy Burke phone call, I was sitting in my office at home. And he called me on a Monday. He said, Pastor George, I want to talk to you about a vision that I had. And he kept saying this over and over. He said, this may seem so strange to you. This may not line up at all what you are thinking or what you are seeing. But he said, I have to share this with you. The day before, he did a service in his hometown in Florida, did a service in a church, finished up the service. And his wife and kids were in the car ahead of him going to the cafeteria. They went out ahead. He left just a little bit later. So they went out ahead. They got to the cafeteria. He parked outside of the cafeteria, and all of a sudden, he had an open vision from God. He was literally taken from the parking lot of a cafeteria, lifted up by God, and dropped here on this property. All of a sudden, he was here. And he said he came onto the property, and he said there were thousands of people on this property. And he started talking about how he was smelling food. There were campfires and people were cooking food. And these are the notes that I made, which I should have gone through and just kind of organized them a little bit better. But these were the notes that I made of that conversation. And of course, when Billy Burke comes at the end of July, we're having him come a little bit early so he can share with you the vision. The open vision that God gave him. He said, he had just come out of the church and he was here on the property. He was right here. He said it was like a virtual reality. He saw the people. He said there were campers and trailers everywhere, fires, smell of food. He asked for a hamburger. There was music going on. And he quoted the scripture Amos 8:11, there had been a famine of the word, a famine of the word. And he started talking about people were coming to a place where they would experience the pure word of God. He said people would travel from far places to experience the pure word of God. He said there was an acceleration of everything. So that goes to the acceleration of the development of the human spirit. He said this is a place of refuge. It's a joyful place. It's a unified place. It's an isolated place like Noah's Ark was isolated outside of the borders of destruction. He said it was almost like Mad Max. It was futuristic. And that the world around us was futuristic. And he said it was almost like the world was experiencing what could have been a nuclear fallout. There was a shortage of the word, no place for people to go. But they were coming here. Many people were coming here. And after he had walked around the property here for a while, and I'm sure he's going to detail more of what he saw in the vision, he was back in the car again. And so he decided he'd call me the next day. And he just kept saying over and over again, I don't know if this means anything to you. I don't know if this means anything to you. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, God, you are talking to us from every possible direction to get our attention on the revival capital of the world. And that's when I began to think to myself. I thought, you know, we are people of faith. Faith gets ready. Faith prepares. And I'm like, Lord, what do you want us to do to get ready for this? What are the things that have to be done to get ourselves ready for the receiving of these people? So Billy Burke will be coming and sharing that vision with us. We'll get that on tape.
A few years ago, Tracy's dad, David Newberry, came to Georgia and he said, I've had a vision. He said it was a night vision. He's had several, three or four maybe, over the many years, and brought them to us. And this, he said, he had just returned from Africa, and he was coming out of EMIC, and he saw, this was symbolic of what's coming out of pulpits. He said he went into the WordWorks bookstore and he saw pulpits, hundreds of them, different ones. But these were connected with Kenneth Copeland Ministries and Billy Brim. I think that's significant because of what that represents, both the word and the moving of the spirit and prayer. The word and prayer are constantly coming up in these. He said there was carved out of one giant oak and there was a big fish on this pulpit. So he knew this was a message of end time harvest, end time latter rain. So there were pulpits here in the church, and out of these pulpits there was coming water. And the water was coming from a pulpit in heaven. Of course, reminds us of Ezekiel and the waters that flow from the throne. While he's looking at these pulpits and the water coming out, he said he suddenly saw a sandwich. He got very, very, very hungry. And he saw a sandwich. He said it was the size of a couch. He said, but he was looking for a fish sandwich. And then he realized that the bread represented supernatural provision and the fish represented people. Other people were looking for sandwiches. Other people had sandwiches. Some had potted meat, but it was molded and old and it was in layers. And he realized these were sermons, messages that were just canned, molded, and nothing fresh, and they were in layers, 3 points and a poem. So there was nothing fresh, but he was looking for the provision of the supernatural and the abundance of people. Looking to see what other notes might be important in this. He talked about how there were hundreds and hundreds of them and the flood of the waters that came through. The harvest reaching the people. One of the pulpits was a boat. And in this boat, out of this boat came great nets to catch the fish, the people. And he said it was large like a convention, but there were many pulpits that were connected to this one. That's important to remember. The bookstore, he said, was because people were searching for what we have. Everyone was coming to look in the bookstore to get what they could for these pulpits. Now,
can I say one more thing about Billy?
Yes.
Of course. And I was just looking down on this,
and he'll clarify it, but it gave me the impression that something significant was going to be happening out there. Something of a disastrous nature was going to be taking place. He said, people are not watching Christian television as much. They're getting their information from Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck. He said, where do we go to hear a word relevant to today, a pure word? And then he said, nothing can touch them around this property. There's a bloodline around it. It is a safe place. He said it was crowded. He said it was like a Jesus fest. Not a conference atmosphere. We are safe here. And that there were greeters that were welcoming the people saying, we are happy for you. We are glad that you made it here. And he kept saying over and over again that we're safe here. We're safe here. We're safe here. There's been a famine of the pure word, and we are safe here. So
we had a pastor tell us not long ago, said, something happens, as for me and my family, you're where we're coming. Oh my. So early last summer, we decided to invite David Ellis to come and to speak to the musicians and have a little training time about ministering music in the spirit. So we did, I forget the exact how many sessions we had, but this was before the last one that we had with him. And he took the afternoon to just go home and pray and meditate. And while he was laying on the bed, he said he was just sitting there thinking about, Lord, what do you want me to say tonight? And what do I have to say to musicians? And the Lord asked him a question. He said, what does the harvest of all the seed that Kenneth Copeland Ministries has sown look like? And he said, so he started thinking, all the airplanes, all the cars, the trucks, all the equipment, all the finances, the money. And he said he was trying to wrap his head around that. And the Lord said, no, don't just think about material things. I'm asking you, what about all the radio broadcasts? What about all the cassette tapes, the reel-to-reels, the CDs, the DVDs, the television programs, the radio broadcasts? What about all the seed of the Word of God? What about all the seed of the Word of God that they have sponsored for other people to preach? What does the harvest of that look like? Mm. David said, I couldn't even get my head around it. All I could say was, Thou knowest, Lord, Thou knowest. And the Lord answered him and said, the revival capital of the world. That's what it will take to produce the harvest. I know no other ministry that has stood for the hundredfold return, for the principle of the hundredfold. Oral grabbed it so quickly, he took it a step further, and I think in this church he preached on the thousandfold return. Talked about Isaac's return. Persecution from every angle, people close to us, people not close to us, just for saying that God can and He will. But what does it look like? The revival capital of the world. Physical seed sown, finances, money, etc. Spiritual seed sown, the Word, which fits in with what Brother Burke, Brother Newberry, and the others have said. So that was in the summertime, and that stirred something in me and Pastor George. So we went to Africa in August. Now, some of you are probably aware more than others of some of the challenges that we've had pastoring the church, and some of it's been very personally directed at me. Since in revisiting that, but what happened over the years, and just to be honest before God, Pastor and I, we've never looked to leave, you know. A few times that you feel like it, you know, but I just, no matter what, no matter how hard, how uncomfortable, unpleasant, hurtful, whatever, no matter what it was, all these years, many years, which goes back before pastoring, leaving just in it because of something was just, didn't come to me. I just didn't think of that. Except one time, under a very dark cloud of depression, I thought that I would leave. But that was for a different set of reasons. So, and the Lord delivered me. But we would routinely ask the Lord, are we in the right place? Our heart, our intention, our purpose, our motive, our desire is for success for the ministry, Revival Capital of the World. We've had all of this that we're telling you about, as well as our own heart and vision from the day he asked me to marry him and what this would look like. I've been living with what Dad's been saying since 1973. So we didn't see that happening. So we've ever so often asked one another, ask the Lord, is it our time to leave? Is there someone better suited for this? Is there someone that would better accommodate, better assist, better work with people, be more pleasing to KCM, you know, are we the drawback? Are we the problem? I mean, honestly and sincerely. And we didn't just ask that when the going got tough, but we honestly put that before the Lord. Honestly, sincerely, heartfelt. So then things made a shift here a while back, and we started to see the change. The dark cloud lifting away. And I told Kelsey yesterday, she was one of the first ones that the Lord just took, and she was like parachuted out of heaven right here. We weren't looking for her. We didn't ask for her. The Lord just dropped her here, and we said, thank you, Lord, and just scooped her up. So, you know, that was, I was encouraged by the momentum. I was encouraged by things happening and the gestures and other people coming into their place. And Dan Hooley had come on board with us and others of you that just moving into place and encouragement, just encouragement that I had that maybe we weren't that if the Lord wanted us to leave, we could leave peaceful inside. So we go to Africa, and for George, it was a great meeting. The Lord blessed him and talked to him. I want my church back. You know the story. It was powerful. For me, it was nearly the meeting from hell. It was such an awful fight for me, spiritually and physically. I have never had so many physical things ever in my life in a meeting. I couldn't talk. I lost my voice. I couldn't walk. I was in such pain in my back that had started in July and it escalated, and sitting on an airplane for 20 something hours does not help that. I was wearing a TENS unit. I was in the most physical pain like that for an extended period that I had ever had. I couldn't get in bed or out of bed by myself. I could move around and be mobile, and hardly anybody knew what was going on, but it was excruciating, and it got worse when I went to Africa. When we landed there, within hours of getting there, I just, whatever that was got on me, I don't know, some sort of cold or flu or so, I don't know. But laryngitis, sinus infection is what I think, I guess. Anyway, it was horrible. And so I fought through that through every session, and God would just meet me at the platform, and I would be able to get it done. I don't even know how people could hear my voice, but we did. Got on the plane, and I was feeling somewhat better. But glad to go home. Just hard meeting. As soon as we'd gotten on the plane, hadn't been on there very long on the last leg, and it was the Spirit, but I didn't realize it at the moment, and I said, I'm going to pray in tongues for 1 hour. I laid down on my little pillow, laid down, pulled the covers over my head. And I mean, the Spirit of prayer came on me, and it was steady and consistent, And I knew I had dropped down to a deep place, just praying in the spirit. Not about anything that I was conscious of, just praying in the spirit, going to pull something up. And then I looked at my watch and it had been exactly 1 hour. And then this question came up in me and I said, Lord, you know the questions of my heart and I'm asking you again. Because even though things had turned a corner, things were better, and I said, but I'm not satisfied that this is right. I'm not satisfied. I don't understand our place. I don't understand. And that's a strange question for me to have, for somebody as determined as I've been, you know, from the time I was 11 years old, 10 years old. But I said, you know the questions of my heart. And all those questions were wrapped up in that one thing. And I threw it up to the Lord. And I heard Him. I heard His voice on the inside in a very strong and booming way. And He said, you are forgetting about the revival capital of the world. And all of a sudden, it was as if I came to myself. I came to myself. I came to myself. I understood myself. I understood what I'm supposed to do. And I began to see, and it's not a seeing as in these kinds of visions, but a knowing, a seeing, a perceiving of what that meant. It's not just about people coming. That's all part of it. But that's the part that you can see with your eye. But I had a perception of it, an ownership, like owning the vision. That's what happened to me with the television ministry. I can tell you the spot I was standing at Oral Roberts University when ownership of the vision for television dropped in me. I know the moment. Bam. It hit me. Now, I already had TV in my heart, but the vision for it and what it was supposed to be, whew. And that's what happened on that airplane. So in that moment, I got it. I threw back that cover off my head and began to talk to George. I talked to him so hard and so fast for about another hour of everything that I understood, everything that I saw. Wish I'd written it down, but it was so tangible at the time. You think it's something that, but I can tell you some things about it. The revival capital. What's a capital? And of course, you think of Washington, D.C. What is it about Washington? Well, Washington itself is one place. We don't all go to Washington. It's not about all going to Washington. It's not about everybody coming to Washington. There are times when there are lots of people go to Washington, and that has to happen because it brings attention to it. But it's about the influence and governmental role that Washington has over the whole world. Yeah. The whole world. And there are things and decisions we make that we don't even make for Aruba, you know, or Constantinople, or they don't even call it that anymore. But we don't even make decisions for those places. But every decision we make affects every place. Every place in the world is affected, for better or for worse. And we influence all those things. And I saw it was that, it's kind of like the old TBN open. Actually, I think they still do it. A little circle, and then the little things start jumping out. But the influence of that, does Washington affect states? Yes. Does Washington affect cities? Yes. And I saw embassies and ambassadors and people that were coming to go out as ambassadors from this place to go somewhere. They're ours, they're our people, and they go other places. And they go into other embassies. What are the embassies? Churches. The Lord said they are any church that'll connect to you in this and partner with you in it. So I remembered from ministers' conference last January how many pastors told us, we're watching you. We're watching what you're doing. Whatever you do, we're going to do it. However you do it, that's how we're going to do it. We're waiting for someone to quit saying. We had one pastor from Wales who said to us, please come say these things to us in Europe because He said, right now, all we're hearing is cut your services back. Don't pray in tongues. Don't have the gifts of the Spirit. Don't just do that somewhere else. If you really want to grow with your people, then what you need to do is cut back, pull back, make a dark auditorium, and do as best as you can to look like the world in a nutshell. But preach a good message and be motivating and inspire people, and they'll come and get saved. But don't call anybody to the altar. It embarrasses people. And don't have them raise their hands, because that makes them feel like everybody's looking at them. And he said, oh my God, when I heard you talk about the want my church back and move Jesus to the front and center and the Holy Spirit have liberty and freedom to move, he said, oh God, please come talk to us. Please come tell us these things. We'll do it. But we were wondering, are we supposed to do that? Is this the new wave? Revival capital of the world. All eyes watching. And to do it, to say it by faith. You see, this is not a move where all of a sudden we don't do what we've done before, where we no longer need faith. We no longer need study. We no longer need preparation. We no longer need fasting or prayer. We no longer need a call to commitment and holiness and righteousness. No! Because Jesus was all those things. And we need to be like Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. And one of the reasons those other places, other outpourings and such have come to an end is because they were exhausted and financially broke. It destroyed the church. We've had heard that even recently, that one of the pastors of one of the outpourings, he said, we had to stop it. Destroyed everything. Well, this is why all of us have to come up in our faith and our active believing for finances. And we've had miraculous turnaround in our finances. But see how Satan would try to make the people who preach prosperity don't even have roads that are paved good. Yeah. Can't be like that. Well, who's going to turn it around? Faith in the Word of God's going to turn it around. It's going to be us that have faith to do it. Yeah. So this capital thing, and the whole concept of everything you can think of about a capital and what happens from internal government for the inside to the effect that it has on all the others on the outside. And much of it has to do, maybe all of it has to do, with the calling, the prophet's call and anointing. I have seen things with my dad in all these years. I've seen things where he preached something, he did something, and our little circle of people got it. You know, it looked like a lot of people to us. It'd be a nice big crowd, 6, 5, 8, 10,000, something like that, praise God. But that's not very many when you've got a country of 300 million or 250 million, whatever it was. But at the same time, I'd see him preach something, and the next thing you know, other churches that would not be caught listening to us are preaching it and changing. Or even outside of the church, one of the most significant ones was back in 1983, the Lord told Dad to welcome home the Vietnam vets. So we had this giant banner that dropped down. It said, welcome home soldier, job well done. And it dropped down. And Daddy would talk about it before, and he'd tell him about, you know, he talked about the Vietnam War, and he talked about the circumstances, you know how he can do, and he just painted this picture. And then he would drop that banner down and have the soldiers stand up, pray for them and for those nightmares to cease and so forth. And at that time, there's still a lot of agitation about the war. It hadn't been over but about 4 or 5 years or so. All of a sudden, there was a surge that started after that across this country. Hollywood movies, okay? They were influenced by what God was doing. Not that God was making movies full of cussing and drugs, but movies like Platoon and what are some of those others that came out? I don't know, because I didn't go see them. But anyway, those movies and the mindset and the realization of what they had been through over there, and it started to change. And then they did the big memorial happened. And then they had the traveling memorial. And then all of a sudden, there's this level of honor for Vietnam, for World War II, Korea. All of them is coming up, coming up, coming up. It changed everything. But the shift happened when the prophet assigned at that level to speak to that level, influence, influence. God knows how to influence things outside the church doors. Well, it wasn't because they were sitting home listening, watching Kenneth Copeland. When you talk about the revival capital under that kind of anointing, every step we take, every word we preach, every action, every move, every decision, down the way we structure and handle things, when it's by faith, you see, when it's by faith, it's eternal and it goes out beyond, it affects things. It affects things way beyond what you see or know or what you ever hear about or touch or feel. People are affected by it. We know more about that now because people are affected and can communicate with us. Find out later. So the revival capital of the world then is much bigger than just because so many people come here. Because you've got 5, 10,000, 20,000, I don't care, 50,000 people. That's significant. Some people will pay attention to it, but other people don't. Do you know how many people in Fort Worth don't know there's a Gateway? One of the largest churches in America, and they don't know? See, that's only big in some circles. But when you're the revival capital, there's a degree of influence. It doesn't even matter if they know you. Your influence is there, and that's what God wants. To influence society and to as Brother Reuben said, he came to Adam in the cool of the day. He's coming down to men in revival. So this has come through from other people. Jeannie Wilkerson, 50 years ago, prophetess of God, Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I'm not even sure we existed, probably, but not by much. And she began to prophesy and talk about all the different things happening in America and all these states and the roll call of states. And she went through most of the states and told who would go for God and who wouldn't. And she got to Texas and that somebody said, I'd never seen, but the other people that were either there or saw the video of it. And she got to Texas and it was a map. And on this map, she pointed to Dallas-Fort Worth area. And she said, and X marks the spot. X marks the spot. And she talked about great prosperity coming out of that spot. Only spot she pointed to. So I was speaking with a Jewish man, our friend Harold Gernsbacher, just this weekend. And he is increasing in his influence on an international level in Jewish world, and he is on the board of the Western Galilee Hospital. They have put him on the board of the American Jewish Federation. That's enormous. That's national influence. And they have assigned him a $1 billion project. And he's just the nicest, just good old boy kind of guy, just easy to talk to. And he started telling me about all these people from Dallas. He said, we've got, and he's a Fort Worth guy. And he goes to synagogue in Dallas. But he's a Fort Worth guy. And he said, we have a higher, portfolio of people coming out of Dallas on a national level. I've never seen it like this before. And he was naming all these people and these national level positions that are happening on these boards and influence. And Lillian Pincus, president of APAC? Huh. That seat's so big, not just in the Jewish world. He said, you know, I don't understand why this is all coming out of this area. He said, I've never seen it like this before. I said, well, I know why it's coming out of this area. He said, oh, it's because we're connected to you. I said, well, it could be because we're connected to you. He said, well, I've never seen it like this before. I said, you do know, Harold. And I told him what Shulamit Katz Nelson, who was Billy's Hebrew teacher, nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize, very influential in Israel, and with prime minister and governmental positions, they called on her. She grabbed Billy one day and said, come with me, very bossy woman. Billy was scared of her, imagine it. So she took Billy and she said, I'm going into this meeting. You sit out here and pray. And so Billy did, not knowing. And she said, now, why do you have me do that? And Shulamit said to her, don't you know that nothing grand happens in Israel unless a Christian and a Jew do it together? Like, what's wrong with you? So I told Harold that. He said, that is amazing. I believe that. Where else in this area do we have this Christian-Jewish connection thing that's happening? Dallas, Fort Worth, Christians and Jews. This influential thing is happening. This is part of it. It's these little things like that that don't seem so big, and yet, I'm electrified with it. Here and there, and we've only just begun. And every one of you, you've got to get this by the Spirit. You've got to take hold of it. You've got to meditate. You've got to be hungry for it. And you can decide to be hungry. You can decide. You can ask the Lord to help you. And absolutely go for it every which way you can. And hook up with George and I and listen to every word and say, what's my part? I've got an idea for that. I know what to do for that. Think about it. If I look at you, Dan, and say, okay, in one day you've got 24,000 people coming on property next Sunday. What are you going to do with them? Where are you going to park? And you can't put that off. You have to act like today you have to know the answer to that. What are you going to do with the children? What are you going to do with the music? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And you can't panic or fret of it, but you've got to go to the Lord and say, I need to know what to do. And the thing of it is, the foundation, the principles of it, whether we just plan to increase by 20% Sunday, you've got that plan in place. That plan from God will work to handle growing in whatever way He needs us to. That's the end of my list, Pastor, and it's noon.
Well, I'll just say this. This is the last thing from Billy Burke. I was looking down at this. This is a place of refuge. He said, this is the word that he gave. There is nowhere else to get what they need. Something in the earth has changed. People were there because of a world event. They came to hear something and able to survive. So that tells us something about what is yet to come. And how do we think on a bigger level? How do we think on a grander scale? How do we think like we've never thought before? Well, the answer to that is we will think His thoughts.
That's right.
We will walk in His ways, and we will be obedient to whatever He tells us to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for where You're taking us.
Thank You, Jesus.
Thank You, Lord, for this that has been in the works for all of these years. All of these years. And now it's happening and it's coming to pass. And we receive the help of the Holy Spirit to do it. We receive the assistance of the Holy One to guide and direct us and help us to fulfill all that You have in Your heart.
Yes,
for this
Lord.
Place.
Oh, yes, Lord.
And Father, now I pray over this team. I pray over the entire Kenneth Copeland Ministries,
yes,
EMIC
Lord.
Team. This EMIC team that You've called together.
That,
Lord, I thank You that there are people, not just in this room, but in all of these buildings and in our offices all over the nations that are coming up with ideas and concepts and words from the Lord. Our own congregation, Lord. Our own congregation is receiving light on
Thank
this,
you, Jesus.
Understanding, and You are raising up from this congregation people who have gifts, abilities, and talents to accomplish the job at hand and to do what we need to do. Lord, I thank You that we don't, each one of us here as this team, we don't have to carry the whole thing. It's not required of us to do it. But we have people who are here, people who are coming back. But our responsibility is to see what You see.
Yes.
Our responsibility is to say what you say. Our responsibility is to do what we see you do. And we heard you, Lord. We've heard a building that'll hold 50,000. We've heard it from the prophet. We've been given instruction and continue to receive instruction of what to do to prepare for this and to get ready and to be readied enough to be able to have this in place for the people to come. So we'll do that, Lord. We'll do it. We'll do it under the guidance and the help of the Holy One. Now just receive from the Father anointings. Anointings to accomplish, anointings to think, anointings to do, anointings to be, an anointing to see this vision come to pass, an anointing to see it completed, see it fulfilled, see it done, see it in its place. Oh, Lord, we see it. We see it. We see it. Say this after me. I see this.
I see this.
I see it.
I see it.
I'll fulfill my part.
I'll fulfill my part.
I'll do my part.
I'll do my part.
With the help of the Holy Spirit.
With the help of the Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Zach, come up here fast.
Thank you, Jesus.
Here, I see it come now. Come quick. When I say fast, it means fast. Come fast. It's okay to run in church. Hallelujah. I saw you stand up. I saw your hunger when you stood up. And God's going to impart to you the arrobo ogase, a box. And in that box, as you by faith open it, in that box is everything you need to assist not only what you see you need to do, but will assist you in assisting others in what they don't know they need to do. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God now. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Gift of God, the gift of God, the gift, the gift of God Himself. Thank you, Lord. His mind, His wisdom, His counsel, His knowing, and His foresight. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Things are going to start coming to you. Ideas are going to come to you. Don't let them get away from you. Wherever you are, put it down. Put it down. The pieces will start coming, and if you'll by faith take them, they'll start coming together, coming together, coming together, and you'll be ready and you won't be caught unaware. And there'll be more people, they already do this, you know, but there'll be more people come to you and say, what do we do? What do we do? And you just open your box and you know what to do. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Does that bear witness with you?
It does.
All right. Praise God.
If you want a new
praise
fresh
God.
Anointing, come to me right now. Come to me right now. Come on. If you want it, come stand before me. Come receive. Come receive. Come receive. Come receive. Now, Dr. Wilder, I need your help because I'm not going to open my eyes. I'm not opening my eyes. You guide me. You direct me where I need to put these hands in Jesus' name. Receive the infilling right now of the power and the presence of God to be able to fulfill your role and your place in this entity that God has called us to do. You receive a new anointing today. Oh, God, we receive. Oh, God, receive. Oh, God, receive. Thank you, Jesus. Praise unto you, O Lord. Jesus' name. Take hold. Take hold. Take hold. Oh, there's the flow of the anointing. There's the flow of the presence of God. The flow of the anointing of the Lord. Everything you need, everything needed is there. Take it. Take it. Take hold of it in Jesus' name. There's a flood. There's a flood of the presence of God that's on you and in you. It's the tsunami. The tsunami of the glory of the Lord. Reaching out and doing things that have not been done before. If the time has come, the time is here to do the things that are so near to the heart of the Father God. You'll do it. You'll do it. You'll do it in power and strength.
Chris,
you take one hand, Gene, you take the other.
Gori, nombra, hirgeda, shakrana namasam. Oh, that heavy, heavy glory on you right now. Be encased with it. Be enthralled with it. Be in a place where it can flow in you and through you. Through you. Through you. We receive, oh God. We receive. We receive, oh Lord. Ingbre beshte vrazama kari devo. Oh, it's heavy. Oh, it's heavy. Oh, it's the heavy, weighty assistance of the Holy Ghost to do what we have to do here, to fulfill the role that you've given to us. No yanamasha. Yield unto this, saith the Lord. Give yourself. Give yourself fully so that I can give myself fully unto you. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Empower them, oh God. Empower them. Help them to see. Help us to see, oh God, what you see. Help us to do what you want us to do. Help us to fulfill the role that you've given unto us here. Oh, with great ease, with great ease, with great ease, oh Lord. Hirana. Braba. Ninga. Ni. So. She. No. Minge. Ve. She. Ko. Braba. Sa. Ningba. Minge. De. Bring in the help. Bring in the help. Bring in the help, O Lord. Bring in the help to this place. Bring in the people that can do the work. Bring in the people that can help. Bring in, Lord. Lifting, the lifting of the burden, the lifting of the weight, the lifting of the concern and the financial pressure. None. Bring us the people. Oh, Lord, let them come to life. Let them come to life. Receive this new, full, fresh anointing. This day, no bravasa mehi be. Ishoron no kaoze, istazambra macare, irabashta rabosa. Ohonan and maninemo ninga deva sheke. Hiae, yama sombra magale de shoroba. Hurge basasa, ne mosha. Who a flood of the power of God upon your people. A flood of the power of God upon this team, this anointed team, mighty men, mighty women of God. Oh, oh, Jesus. Oh, hey. Drink. Take a drink of the Holy Ghost. Take a drink of His grace. Take a drink in the fullness of this place. Take a drink. A new joy! Rising up! It's a new joy in this church. It's a new joy in this place. It's a new joy in every race. It's a new joy being poured out from heaven for you right now. A new place with him. Oh! Oh! ho, ho, joy!
Joy.
There was great joy in the city. Great joy in the city. From this moment forth, you will.
I knew I was laying hands on Denny. I knew it. I peeked. I knew I was laying hands on Denny. I knew it. 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 There's an anointing on you to teach. And it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. It's becoming full in a place of fullness.
Praise God.
The fullness of the anointing
upon your people, O God. The fullness of your presence upon us this day. New day.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So praise God. Glory to God. Praise God. God is a kisa sa sa ko. Kesha ka chote ne ne kesha sa ko bo ko si sa ka chote ne kite. Kombo sa tara lo ko pro tara ni. Ke lo lo ko nje tere la ko so se te prata ta. Kendo ro pro te ti ki che tere ne ne ki so sti. Gara de di jo kono ken kli ki bara ba ka ta. Ki na 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 ne ki ve do go bo bo no to.
Revelation.
Come on, revelation. Revelation and understanding. Understanding of the hurting. Understanding of the Hanakavele Veraska, the casting out of demons. Oh, greater understanding. Greater understanding of these Akena Nakera Deshte, the unusual cases. The gifts of the Spirit in a fuller operation to know what to do, to know what to say. Ha ha! Let there be a greater upon us understanding of the casting out of the devil. Show us what we need to do. Show us how that needs to be incorporated into the life of this church. Teach us! Teach us, oh God.
Hallelujah.
The windows of heaven
praise God.
Praise God.
It's new.
Praise
it's new.
Him, praise
it's
him,
brand
praise
new. Him. It's brand new. Oh, it's a fresh.
Thank you, Jesus. Sakara.
It's a fresh. There's an enlargement. There's an enlargement. A capacity that you have never functioned in before. A capacity so huge, so large. A capacity so massive. Your mind is enlarging. Your heart is enlarging. Your jorana. The healing ministry is enlarging. Those things which your heart is after, you'll have every bit of it. Every bit of it. Oh, new anointings this day. And a refreshing.
You've been pushing for a lot of years. Pushing hard for a lot of years. It's time to walk in this fresh anointing. It's time for us to walk in the spirit of seeing and knowing. And so the time has come for you to do. Time has come for the wait to be through. The time is here. It's a fresh place. It's a fresh place. Whew. That will take you into a space through an open door to a room you've never been. Jesus. Jesus.
Thank you.
Anoint him for such a time as this. This time that we are in. This place where we are. Let this be the time of an anointing he's never experienced before.
Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh, and let it grow and grow and grow and grow and grow.
Thank you, Lord.
The Father is putting all things in order.
Thank you, Lord.
He's getting all things straight so that we are able to run, to run this race. And the weight and the care is being stripped off. And we are experiencing. We are experiencing. We are experiencing.
Thank you, Jesus.
His grace. Don't get the idea. Gonna have to put in a lot more hours. Gonna have to put a lot more work, a lot more hard work to accomplish this. On the contrary, my yoke, easy and light. And I'll help you through. It will be exhilarating. Exhilarating. It will be fun. It will be a joyful experience. Yes. So don't get the idea that you'll never be able to take a breath
never be able to rest, never be able to stop. You've got to understand, I'm the head of this. I want my church back, and I got it. I know how to run it. And I know what to do where people are concerned.
Yes.
So you follow me. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen.
I didn't get to lay hands on her.
Oh, that's all right. We've been in it together.
You can lay hands God. On me. I'll lay hands
okay,
on you.
Okay, I pray for you in Jesus' name. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Receive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Together we do it. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
New.
Do it. We do it.
Fresh.
Thank you, Jesus.
Presence.
Yes. Praise God.
Of Jesus the Spirit name. Of God. Jesus and the name. Lord is restoring all things.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
All things. What you were born to do, you
thank
will
you,
do.
Jesus.
You will fulfill. And whatever has seemed to take a lot of years and things that haven't been done, it's going to be a very quick
oh, work. God.
It's going
praise
to be, so, it's makeup time. It's makeup time because there's much more for you to do.
Thank you, Jesus.
Not to carry, but to do.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for strength, vision, insight. Lord, every seed sown bears a hundredfold return in revelation, impartation, direction, strength, support, and reward. Thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank Amen. You.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Okay. Well, there you have it.
Coming to you from the revival capital of the world on the grounds of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, welcome to Eagle Mountain International Church.
Thank you, sweetheart. Wow. That's probably about what Dad heard in that little airplane. Can you imagine Dick Irvin staying in a little single-engine Cessna? I mean, whoa!
Coming to you.
Yeah. Wow. We needed that. We need that on a loop. Thank you, everybody.